Over the past 5 years, the Army has been busily building renewable power facilities on its bases in order to reach an overall goal of 1 gigawatt of renewable energy, and their deadline is 2025. But now the Army is putting more of an emphasis on using that energy to make its bases entirely self-sufficient from the public electric grid so they can keep functioning in the event of an outage. Michael McGee is the executive director of the Army Office of Energy Initiatives. He spoke with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about the technologies the Army's pursuing to make that a reality.
The issue that the Army is concerned about and is tracking is, as current as today's news, there's an increased awareness of the potential fragility of the grid that delivers our power in some cases, and also the vulnerability of that grid, sometimes to determined attackers who may be looking for potential ways to do harm to the United States via the power grid. That's a distinct possibility, and we want to make sure that we're contributing to help the power providers that power our Army bases the ability to maybe predict or at least better withstand any type of intentional attack on the grid. So that's a true concern that not just the Army but the other military services would tell you is of interest to them. At the same time, there's also been an increased frequency and severity of extreme weather events that are impacting infrastructure, you name it, but to include the power grid. So we're trying to make sure that we have reliable and resilient power delivery systems to our bases, and we're teaming with industry partners to include private investors who want to do projects that add additional generation on Army land that could be used to power the grid, but also ideally, in some instances, if the grid fails or there's a grid emergency, those generation sources could be used to power Army bases. So we're looking for win-win propositions where somebody is looking to develop a project that improves the power grid, but also could at the same time provide additional energy security and resiliency to the Army. And we're doing that with private sector investment, and we've seen great interest in those projects.
And so just as an example, I think in at least some of the projects the Army's done in the past, you've, you know, through enhanced use leases, et cetera, given over a large swath of land so that a private company could build solar panels, which are then connected to the primary electric grid, so it's not necessarily dedicated to Army use. So going forward, are we going to see more projects where the Army has, for lack of a better term, first dibs on the energy that are that is generated by these projects?
Yeah, certainly, and that's something that's really exciting. So part of what's happening is you have to have the right circumstances that allow for a certain type of configuration of an energy project that could be in some circumstances feeding the grid during normal operations, and then could in an emergency be turned inward to feed the Army base in a contingency situation. So you have to have the right set of circumstances for that. But in particular with renewable power, which is where the main investor interest has been. And so happens that the Army has been encouraged by statute to facilitate development of renewable energy projects that provide these kinds of benefits. Those projects, the investor interest has been in generation. With renewables, you need to also typically have the companion ability to store the power from the renewable generation source, so you can use it at any time you want. For example, if you've got a solar power generation plant, you can use that power while the sun's shining. But if the sun's not shining, it's nighttime, you can't get that power and you can't use it. So you have to have the ability to store some of that power from the day, and then you could use it at night for your nighttime demands if you wanted to have a continuous supply of power that was reliable. So you need some sort of storage, and lately what's happening is battery storage is coming into its own financially, and we're seeing the economic viability of large-scale utility battery projects, especially in California, where they have a keen interest there because they're concerned about the reliability of their power due to their circumstances in California, and they're also incorporating an awful lot of renewables in that state. So it's kind of taken strong root there, but it's also coming up in other locations. So we have a series of projects that have been, in some cases, renewable power that feeds the grid but needs that additional storage component to make it what we would call an islandable configuration. In the event of a grid outage or in the event that you want to run at the nighttime, say, off of that power, you need that storage component. So we're excited to see that that's coming along on some of our projects that have already been built with the generation piece. We have this maybe a solar generation project, but now people are looking to go back and invest in energy storage, typically in the form of batteries, and add that as a secondary piece to projects. for new projects from this point going forward, we're trying to build that in up front because it takes a couple years to develop a project, and the maturity of the economics of battery storage is right here, right now. It's happening. So we're building that into our projects now as we go forward. At the same time, we're going back to our previous projects to add energy storage where it's economically viable and where we find that investor interest. So it's pretty exciting.
And to
we have a couple of projects where we're not using the intermittent form of renewables, like out at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii. It's a biofuel plant. So in Hawaii, they typically, for the most part, burn fuel oil to power a power plant to make electricity for the island. And they wanted to construct a new plant that was to handle peak loads at peak times, but also in a place that was removed from the coastline, which is where a lot of their plants were constructed back in the early days, above the tsunami strike zone. So the plant that's under construction in Hawaii for the Army is on Schofield Barracks. It's a Hawaiian Electric Company-owned power plant. They finance it, they own, they operate, they maintain it, but it'll be on Army land. It'll be used as a peaker plant during times of peak demand on Hawaii's electrical grid on Oahu. But then if there is a grid emergency, that plant can be islanded off of the grid, and the base can be islanded off of the grid, and we can power Schofield Barracks off of that plant. So it's one of those win-win propositions. In fact, there will be enough power from that plant that we could provide power to Schofield Barracks, Wheeler Army Airfield, and Kinnea Field Station, all at the same time via this project that's under construction right now. That's not an intermittent form of power, so you don't need to store power to, say, go overnight, but you do need to store fuel. So there will be fuel on-site, biofuel, to power the plant for up to 5 days, and there was another provision for some additional fuel to be stored off the immediate site but on island for another period of time that gets you out to 30 days. So the contract that we have that allows the plant to be built on Army land requires provision of fuel for up to 30 days to have that islandable capability. So it's an extremely attractive proposition to the Army, and it happens to be an attractive proposition for Hawaiian Electric too. So it's one of those win-wins. We're able to factor in this form of storage right up front.